Hello, and thanks for being with us here on The New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the awakening of Nazism in the United States and also in Europe. We know that the last time that Nazism came to power, the Jews were at the center of hate and our nation suffered the most. We'd like to understand where is it all headed and can we shift things in a different direction. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, we really learn about it a lot from young age. We're taught about the Holocaust, trying to understand what happened, how did it happen. But along with it, there are probably things that we didn't fully understand because we see that Nazism is back. And it's really hard to understand how are we supposed to cope with it correctly. I read a bit about what Hitler said, and I was kind of surprised. Nazi Germany wanted to take over the entire world. They wanted to glorify Germany. But what I discovered from what he said is that actually his goal, his struggle was, as he says, between the Germans and the Jewish people, and all the rest is an illusion in his words, and it was surprising to hear. He was seemingly so afraid of Jews that he said that even if there is one Jew left, even if he won't be brought up as a Jew, even if he'll never go to the synagogue, even if he's a child, in his soul there is something that has to be destroyed. This is how Hitler views it. He says that ethics, morals, different qualities that Jews have, they distort human life and distance us from nature and from the healthy way of life. And so it's very interesting to understand how much Hitler saw Jews as the problem and nothing else. So maybe we should better understand, how should we approach Nazism? What is it exactly that Hitler was afraid of? What is it about the Jews that made them so central? Our ego, which is the entire human nature. In the still vegetative inanimate, there is no ego, because there they exist according to the laws of nature, instinctively. Whereas in mankind, the egoistic desire to receive pleasure, to rule, is constantly growing. And therefore, it takes on different forms in its development. Food, sex, family, wealth, honor, knowledge. This is how we develop. And in accordance with this development, and it's not a simple linear development that it's more and more and more, but we're a very multifaceted society as a mankind in terms of races and nations and all the different forms, and it changes in each and every one. There are many types of character and everything. And therefore, when our ego develops, even if it develops another 10%, another 10% of humanity develops, but they all develop in a different direction. And so what happens is that we every time build a new form of society and connections between us, and the laws of our behavior change. We set different laws every time. And this is how it goes. What did happen in the past 2,000 years is that the method of connection that existed in the people of Israel, which is also not a people, we already talked about it, that really the first fascist, the first Nazi, was the king of Babylon, of ancient Babylon, which was King Nimrod, who was against Abraham, that was the first Jew. And since then we have this dispute and this crossroads, that those that were with Nimrod, they followed their ego and developed accordingly. And as much as they could be together, they were. And when they couldn't, they spread all around the world. They covered the entire planet. And this is how it is to this day. And that small group that Abraham connected according to a different nature, a different method, which isn't the egoistic connection, but love covers for all crimes, that it's the opposite to the ego, that I have to love everyone as long as they're capable and they want to connect with me too. This method of connection is built on mutual concessions. So he put together a small group, and this group existed in parallel to Nimrod's group, which is as if all of humanity. So just to see the ratio between them, there were a few thousands of Jews in Israel. Suppose after Egypt and after everything that they came to the land of Israel, and Nimrod's group, all of Babylon, in the meantime, they grew and they covered the entire planet, millions of people back then. And so what happens is that they're opposed to one another. And this oppositeness, this opposition, you could also see it between the first and the second temples, even though that people came to study and the Greeks studied, learned from Israel. And afterwards, this contradiction was very conspicuous, contradiction between what and what. Between the two methods. The one method is the egoistic method, Nimrod's method, that everyone has to be connected according to the laws of the human ego, and then from Nimrod it passed on to Rome. What does it mean to be connected according to the laws of the ego? It means that everyone can exist in their ego, and everyone uses their ego in order to succeed in life. So what's the connection? It's not connection. Everyone uses their ego in order to succeed. Yeah, but there's a country, there's a society, there are rules that tie everyone together above their ego. Not love above the ego like Abraham's method, but according to the rule of government that ties them together and not allowing them to completely disperse or kill each other. So according to this way of life that is represented by Nimrod that later on spreads to the rest of humanity, every person has an ego, he wants to be number one, therefore if we connect in society, we have to set rules so that we won't harm each other. Yes, so this is the first concept that belongs to all of humanity. Yes, what is the second concept? That's Abraham's concept that says that there has to be connection above the ego, that even though that the ego is human nature, but still we have to be connected even though that we're egoists. So not to take into account or to take into account as little as possible everyone's egoistic inclinations. So in the first concept, it's set by rules. How do you do it in the second concept? By the rules of love. Either you have the rules of ancient Rome and the philosophy of ancient Greece, or you have the laws of Kabbalah, of the Torah of truth, the true method. What the Nazis said is that the moral perceptions of helping others and so on were a sort of deviation that's destroying society, etc., that these are values that contradict nature. Why do they see things this way? Because it's not in accordance with the laws of nature. It's true. The Jews went against nature, the so-called above nature. And Nimrod, the Romans, they went with nature. And then from Rome it passed on to Germany. We already know that from history. It's a bit hard to understand because by nature, we're supposed to live a very hard life where there is even evil. No, we have rules. We arrange things according to rules. Look at Germany. Today, okay, there is a kind of chaos there because of everything that's going on, but before that, they lived in a very clear manner. Also, their character is to keep the rules, keep the rule of government, keep a person's commitment to society and so on. It was very nice. By the way, this is also how it was in Rome. It's not today's Italy. It was a different people and a different rule. Okay, let's talk about the racial theory. The Nazi racial theory says that there are different races that nature created, and the super race is the white race, or the Aryan race, more precisely. And it actually has to be superior, and if there are different creatures that are weak, ill, parasites, like in nature, you have to clean them off the general human body so it will be healthier. This was also how it was in Greece and Rome. And what is the opposite concept that the Jews represent? That by love we correct everything, and that everyone completes everyone else. If they're the ill or the disabled, all these things have to exist in human society and we have to care for everyone. Why? It's not so in nature, a Nazi philosopher will tell you. Of course, I agree that that's how it is in nature, but we're saying that humanity has to be on a higher degree than nature. Higher. On a degree of connection which is above all the differences, above all the rifts. This approach, does it weaken mankind or does it strengthen it? The Nazi approach is very healthy and as if it can exist in mankind, but because there is the general plan of nature to bring all of nature, including mankind, to a round form where everyone completes everyone, it follows that mankind has to rise to a degree of love above hatred, and then from that level they will influence all the rest of the laws of nature of the still, the vegetative, and the animate that will also connect to mankind, and they will connect according to the law of love and not according to the law of the ego. So, in these two counter concepts, you just presented them as the opposition between the current law of nature and the spiritual law of nature. Okay, so what are these two? The current law of nature is the fittest survive. The stronger eats the weaker. Among everyone. Among people too. Without any special sentiments. What sentiments are there? No sentiments. This is how it has to be done. When a wolf eats a deer, does he have sentiments? He doesn't hate the deer, and the deer doesn't hate him. But both of them are activated by the force of nature. What man has to do is, he has to keep the law of nature on the human level. That's it. This is what he has to do. And then this way, we have to cleanse humanity of these and those and so on. All these different kinds of people that aren't exactly on the Aryan level. And this is the Nazi concept, yes, which you defined as the current law of nature, right. Against it is another concept, which is the spiritual law of nature. What is it? The spiritual law of nature is that our entire nature, which is egoistic, human nature. Yeah, also the still vegetative and animate, but they're operated by instinct. So all of nature has to go through correction, and man, by his exertion, has to elevate himself from the egoistic behavior to an altruistic behavior of love towards others. And then, when man is on the degree of love of others towards mankind, then there are forces projected from the love of others also to the degrees of the still vegetative and animate in nature, and then they too enter the correct kind of connection with humanity. And then everyone reaches a connection of love, a connection of mutual bestowal. What does this word mean? Mutual bestowal means that everyone thinks, how can he fulfill others with plenty and abundance according to the desire of the other. So maybe this is the ideal law, as you describe it, but throughout history, or at least the Nazis blamed the Jews for bringing humanity different forms of governance like socialism, democracy, communism, that are based on these principles to some extent, and we see that many of these things didn't work. No, that the Jews took part in what happened in Russia and in a few more neighboring countries. It's not that they wanted to bring this form of governance. They have simply an inclination towards it, but nonetheless, it was done by the nations themselves. And Marx, he writes about socialism and communism. He writes that this is the next formation of humanity, because it was clear to him that this is how it's going to happen. And also the wisdom of Kabbalah says that after capitalism, what's supposed to develop is socialism and communism, but not the way it happened in Russia or social Nazism like in Germany. The Jews were blamed for wanting to take over the world, that they have a lust for money and power and things, stereotypes that are the very opposite to... No, it's not the opposite. The Jews really wanted it because the Jews, they're corrupt. According to their original nature, they were supposed to participate only in bestowal and love and bring correction to the world. But instead of that, they fell during the destruction of the temple to unfounded hatred, and therefore everything that they do is the very opposite to connection, that they really resist one another, and therefore the entire world suffers as a result and also hates them, that instead of bringing the world the method of correction, one might say that they're bringing the method of disconnection, of separation to the world. And therefore, their correction comes through these terrible torments that they suffered in the Holocaust. So what does humanity or do the Nazis hate about the Jews? Their positive essence, or that they're not realizing the correction, bring love to the world? We can say just one thing. The Nazis, part of them understand what's going on with the Jews. They really investigated it psychologically, philosophically, also Kabbalistically. They collected all the possible Kabbalistic writings, but they couldn't understand it because for this you already have to be on an altruistic, spiritual level. And therefore, a professor in the university or some Nazi in their organization can't understand that, even though that they felt that there's something about it, that there's some kind of a spiritual force about it, which is very much opposed to the force that they wanted to acquire, by which they wanted to rule the world. So why did they want to destroy it? It's the form of the ego, of course. If I hate someone who's opposed to me, I want to eradicate him from the world. Obviously. What else? Distance them from society. No, what I need it for. The simplest thing is to burn them, so nothing will remain. What exactly do they want to burn? The internality that exists in Judaism. But they felt it more than the ordinary Jews did, because they learned and they wanted to know what's going on. And also today, we see that all over the world, first of all, anti-Semitism is on the rise, even in such countries. In the UN, 200 countries, they're all against Israel. It's not that there are a few that are pro and a few that are con, but everyone. So we, the Jews, have to understand, why is it happening this way? No one's paying them to hate us or anything. But we, because we're not realizing our destiny, by this we make them hostile towards us. You said that the Nazis wanted to burn the internality of Judaism. Yeah. Meaning that within us or among us, there is something that probably even we the Jews don't identify, and they felt it and wanted to destroy it. But if we're not even aware of this thing, then why should they care that much that they want to destroy it? It doesn't matter that we don't know. We don't know, but the root, it exists. Like Tal read in the beginning, that they understood that even if one Jew remains in the world, you have to find him and kill him. Why? Because it is the point of the altruistic desire out of which the wisdom of Kabbalah can develop once again, and the entire method of correction by connection. And this point exists in every Jew? Yes. And from it eventually is supposed to develop that which threatens the Nazi approach. What is it? A method that is opposite to the Nazi method. So this point is like a small seed that exists deep inside every Jew, whether he's aware of it or not. Doesn't matter. If he's Jewish, he has it. Yes. Okay. So let's say we take this seed, we water it, and so on. What will it become? It will become the source of the method of bestowal, of love, of the correct connection above nature. And why do the Nazis hate it so much? Because their root is the root of the ego. So the collision is between two counter roots of what? Of love against what? Love of others against the hate of others. And we see how they treated the rest of humanity. And today, that Nazism is on the rise again in the United States. It was always there, but only now they're being heard. What does it symbolize? That the Jews are falling behind, that once again they might be taken to Auschwitz. Falling behind how? They have to know what is their destiny in the world, why are they hated, what do they have to do, what is the source of hatred, how can they rise above it and perform their correction in the world. This is to blossom that seed that exists in every Jew. Yes, take it out and develop it and buy it to show the entire world that there is a different kind of development. Only for Jews? For everyone. For all of mankind. Yes. Another question. How is it possible that a Nazi or some fascist identifies this inner point in a Jew that even the Jew himself can't identify? He has a kind of sensor that a Jew doesn't have? Yes. What is it? This sensor is his inner point of the ego. Of the Nazi? Yeah. He sees that there is something that is opposite to him, that probably you're a Jew. Okay, so we all know that as much as Jews try to escape their Judaism and become Germans and Frenchmen, nonetheless, they were found. All these things sound very irrational. They're actually very rational. It's according to human nature. I have to find this entire race. I have to find where they are. Suppose down to their grandfathers, grandmothers, or even more. Okay, so I want to talk about today's Judaism. All in all, Jews, they're against the hate. They protest, they rally for unity. What unity? They're rallying for love. Where? In the United States, in Europe, there are rallies of love against the protests of hatred and racism. It's nothing. It's not even taken into consideration. We see ourselves as people that really believe in those values that you're talking about. What values? Help, unity. Where do you see it among the people of Israel? I never saw it. There are plenty of charities also in the United States and many communities. It's all egoistic, it only calms you down, and therefore it corrupts. And you're talking about something else? Yes, which is what? Which is through the correct education that the wisdom of Kabbalah presents to reach love. Love covers for all crimes. Love another as thyself. Where do you see that? everywhere in every school, from kindergarten till the university. Love another as thyself. And it's not only among the Jews, among the Christians too. I think that it's the most well-known motto in humanity. I feel like I landed on another planet, not on Earth. What do you mean? Yeah, I hear such things. When you were a child, weren't you taught love another as thyself? Of course. So what's the question? It's a question of realization. So, if I understand correctly, as unperceivable as the Nazi phenomena seems to us, also what we have to give as Jews to the world, it's unperceivable to the same extent. And the Nazi method is closer because it grows from the ego. And love another as thyself grows from bestowal, which is an opposite nature that doesn't exist in mankind, that humanity still has to acquire by the upper force. It's long-term work, but we have to begin. Because once we start, the situation will change. We only have to break the tendency. And now we're really at a turning point in history that if we don't do it, we'll go back to an even worse life than we had 80 or 90 years ago. Last question. A moment ago, you mentioned the gap between talking about love another as thyself and realizing it in practice. And you're saying that we have a lengthy process ahead and so on. How will mankind look when they will realize love another as thyself to the fullest? How will they be different than mankind today? People will live in a good and nice connection with one another. They will feel the others more important than themselves. They will be carefree in their connection. They will feel the upper force of nature, the general force of connection, love, and bestowal. And then they will start feeling in that force of bestowal and love that's above our nature, that they are in a higher reality, and that they're losing this reality that's felt in the egoistic qualities that we feel right now and live in. So where do they live? They live in the force and law of love and bestowal. That's called the upper world. And this is where everyone has to come to, all of mankind, yes. And the Jews are the ones that are supposed to lead everyone there? Yes. Dr. Leitman, our time's up. Thank you very much. We'll meet again. Thank you, Tal. Our time really is up. Our time is up. Thank you very much, and all the best.